We're having a birthday party.
Yay. I like it. That's a good. Who is this?
Altered Images.
It's different. It's a different version of it. You've heard many versions of the birthday song. This is unique.
There's a certain iconic thing that many of us have that is celebrating its 10th birthday today. And ABC News correspondent Alex Stone is going to help us celebrate. Alex, how are you?
Well, happy birthday, guys. Doing well. Yeah, 10 years ago today, we had BlackBerry devices. We had flip phones. You might have had the Razor. Remember how hot that phone
I
was?
I loved my Razor.
I had every single one you just mentioned.
Exactly. And today, on this date, there were crowds that were lined up outside Apple stores to get their hands on what was really a mythical, mysterious device at the time that Steve Jobs had just unveiled. And this unveiling...
We are calling it... iPhone.
iPhone. Oh, how it would change our lives.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
And he told us right before it came out, which it went on sale 10 years ago today, that he knew it was going to be big.
I think we're going to hit a grand slam with this.
Yeah, and I think he was right. You know, a lot of people may be saying right now, well, I have an Android, I have a Windows phone. Those were big, too. Yeah, but iPhone was first. And they have battled in courts over who came up with the technology. Was it Samsung? Did Apple? But bottom line, to the consumer out on the market, iPhone was the first phone of what you would think of as a smartphone that we have today, with all of the apps and the touch capabilities beyond just an email device like the BlackBerry, and it was 10 years ago today.
I'm telling you, that Razor phone was the coolest thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
I love to flip it open.
It looks so cool, too.
But, you know, you couldn't play games on it. The pictures were so pixelated and blurry and terrible. The iPhone, the minute I got one, you turn it on, and I was just amazed it all came to life. So it really has changed the world, hasn't it?
Well, it has. If you think about it, when's the last time you bought a map? The last time you used a physical standalone calculator, an alarm clock, an encyclopedia, a flashlight, you bought a camera, because unless you're a professional photographer, you have a photography hobby that most likely you're taking your pictures on your phone now. They're replacing wallets increasingly with Apple Pay
and
now competing devices. And it put the internet in your pocket. You know,
yeah.
For the first time in 2007, you could look up anything, anytime, right in your pocket. You had a computer that you could look things up.
I would like to know the statistics to find out what is the most common use of the flashlight feature, because I would bet it's when you're walking your dog and you need to pick up after them if it's dark out. Because that's what I use it for.
Upper?
Yes.
Or if you're a Kardashian, you're using it as an external light for your selfies.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
and for
that.
Me, it's going out in the garage and resetting every time there's a power outage, resetting the control for the sprinklers in our yard, because I need to figure out how to put a battery in. So every time, I got to go back out there. But, you know, the iPhone has also come a long way. The original one didn't have a flash on it. It didn't have a selfie camera, the front-facing camera. You couldn't take videos. You couldn't send pictures via Apple Messenger or via text. It was 2G, as most phones were going 3G for data. It was seen as slow because it was only 2G at that time. And there were 15 native apps. The App Store didn't come until 2008. There was no App Store yet when the iPhone came out. So you got what Apple gave you, and it was their, you know, the calculator and the alarm clock and that sort of thing. There were some websites that you could go to download some rogue apps, but for the most part, it wasn't until 08 that you could start downloading apps. And then think about some of the world's most profitable companies right now, at least when it comes to stocks, are companies that were developed on apps. Uber, Facebook, Twitter, of posting pictures, of ordering a car. All of these companies that have developed off of smartphones.
Now, do you think they could have predicted the addictive quality that the iPhone has captured in our society?
You know, and all the sleep we're losing because of it?
Yeah, they could have hoped for it, but predicted it, I don't know. You think of all of the... When you go to a waiting room right now, what's the first thing you do? If you're waiting for the doctor, you pull out your phone and start flipping through Facebook or looking at your emails. You don't interact with anybody. You have to act like you're busy. Even if you're doing absolutely nothing, it's something to look at. Waiting for a plane to take off, or even in an elevator, walking down the street, sitting at dinner.
I was just going to say, the classic
elevator.
Yeah,
restaurants? Yeah, at dinner time, though, you walk into a restaurant, and people are on their phones, that there is that addictive nature to it, that you walk away from it, and you think, oh my, I might have gotten a message. But also, work can expect that. I mean, we're expected to constantly, that if you don't respond to an email within a minute or two, then you haven't, you're not paying attention. That, you know, work is different now, thanks to, it started with the BlackBerry, but then in the smartphones.
All right. What I like about it, and it has made, as you mentioned, doctor's offices, especially you're taking your kids to the pediatrician. I don't know. I love my pediatrician, but it's a 2-hour wait every time, it seems.
Man,
when you're getting
your new pediatrician.
I love her, though. And then when you're waiting to get your car fixed. I mean, yeah, the coffee's nice, but you can sit there and play Candy Crush, and then all of a sudden, lo and behold, they go, Miss Snyder, your car is ready. So it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, or catch up on your Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. You can watch Netflix, always look busy. You can ignore the crazy uncle at Thanksgiving when, you know, you're sitting around and you can act like you've got work to do. That it's part of our lives now. And when you had the razor, if you forgot it at home, you likely just went to work and thought, I'll deal with it when I get home. You leave home now and you forgot your phone.
You
many
go
of
back.
Us are turning around and coming right back to pick up that phone.
Absolutely. Alex Stone on the line with us, ABC News correspondent. We are celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Apple iPhone. We're going to take a quick break and come back. And Frank, you have some interesting stuff you'd like to talk to Alex about.
Sure. There's the great stuff we just talked about with the iPhone. And then there's the cons of the iPhone, which we'll discuss.
Stay tuned. 312-981-7200. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Frank Fontana. Montana at 720 WGN. It's Wendy Snyder. Yes, that is me. And Frank Fontana is sitting in for Bill Left today. We are talking iPhone with ABC News correspondent Alex Stone.
We are. And we spoke about all the wonderful things that the iPhone does for us in today's world. You know, makes the life more efficient. We can access our music and our movies and all that stuff at the click of a little finger swipe. But the cons of owning a smartphone or smart device, I've owned every generation of iPhone since it ever came out. I was the guy waiting online. I had
you
to have
were?
It.
You even had the first one, huh?
I had the very first one. I still have it, with the oval back, you know, that's that rounded back to it.
Then I went,
so I have every generation stored somewhere in my house. And then I have now the latest 7 Plus, which I love. But here's the thing. I'm having a hard time shutting off in life. Like it's created a world where you mentioned it. You just don't ever stop. And Wendy, you said you wake up how many times a night?
I wake up, Alex, this is crazy. I wake up, it seems like 3 o'clock every morning, like clockwork, and I check my phone because I get AP alerts and I want to know what's going on with the world. And I fall back to sleep, and then at 5 I wake up again, and I pick up that phone to see what has transpired since I've been sleeping.
Yeah, and I know what you mean because, and I've tried, we have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I've tried to be much more present with them because I find as they're playing, I'm in the corner responding to emails or putting them down to bed. You feel it vibrate, and as they're brushing their teeth, you're looking at your phone or even laying in bed with them that as you're cuddling with them at night, you feel it and you go, oh, and just and do a quick glance down by the side so they can't see. And I'm thinking, this can't be good. That I think this might be addiction. I think I might have withdrawals if I pulled away from this. But and I've tried not to look at it if I wake up in the middle of the night because then I'm wide awake. Even though you can set that nighttime setting to take the blue light out of it.
It doesn't help. Awake. Come on.
Well, once I've read stuff and my mind's going. So I'm with you on that. And there is that downside to it that you know, we talked about at dinner tables and as you're walking down the street. There is a true aspect to it of social interaction and daily lives. And I mean, mine's sitting right next to me right here. And as we've been talking, I've been looking at it. Why? Because I want to know who's at my front door at home. You know, our doorbell's going off. And I mean, everything, your life is on there. And it is hard to get away from.
Well, and literally, as you speak, I'm streaming on my Instagram Live on my iPhone. Well, Wendy, say hi. And we're streaming the show. And you mentioned the blue light. What's interesting is a story just came out on the Daily Mail UK about this dermatologist. Everyone's heard of the Murad skincare line, correct? Dr. Howard Murad just went on this morning show and claims that spending 4 days in front of screens can admit that harmful blue ray, and it's equivalent to 20 minutes in front of the sun.
Well, and then how come I'm not getting tan?
Well, because you might be getting skin cancer.
Oh, great.
That's the new claim. So he's basically saying that too much screen time will be equivalent to spending too much time in front of the sun, which, no.
I was wearing my bikini in front of the iPhone for a reason.
But if you're doing that, can we stream that, though? Because that could be quite the sight.
Oh, here, hang on. I'm getting a tan right now as I'm reading my emails.
So
careful, Donald Trump will criticize you on his Twitter account.
Which he's always tanned, which means he's probably on the phone a heck of a lot. So he's suggesting that, and this is, I don't know if it's ridiculous, ridiculous or not, but he's saying the blue light is emitted from the screens, which can suppress production of melatonin as well as penetrate deep into the layers of our skin, damaging collagen, hyaluronic acid, and elastin. So dim the light whenever you can and wear sunscreen when you're on your phone.
Hang on, I'm going to look at my email. Let me go put on some...
right.
Yeah, well, you know, and we have to see where these phones are going to go. That may not be a problem years from now. As they become more embedded, it will be a different problem in our lives. We know the Apple Watch has been something that Apple has been working on to, we believe, make that a standalone product so that you don't have to pair it up with your iPhone so that you could get calls and you could get data just on your wrist. And is that going to be the future? At the time when iPhones are going bigger and they have been going to the Plus models, it seems that there is definitely a huge market for not something so tiny on your wrist that you want to be able to do more than just quickly read messages and look at headlines, that you want to do what we all do on our phones, whether it be Netflix or something else. So how will they embed it more into our lives is the big question. That the iPhone, except for being a little bit thinner, a little bit lighter, some small tweaks here and there, looks essentially the same as it did in different size now, but that it did back in 2007, that... you have to assume that in the next 10 years, it's going to change and won't be the same product for 20 years at that point, how they're going to change it, except for maybe making the glass go over the edges in the iPhone 8, if that's what they call it. Some think it will be called the iPhone X because of the 10th anniversary of the iPhone. We don't know yet. But they might make some small cosmetic changes, but probably it's going to look relatively the same when they unveil it in September.
Now, do you have the 7, Wendy?
I don't know what I have.
Let me take a look at it.
I think you got a six.
You got a six.
You know why? Because I wanted the headphone jack, so I didn't want to make the...
But they sell a little, like I had the same issue, but they sell a little attachment for your existing headphones that just clicks in, and for $7 you can be in the future.
Alex, I can't speak for you, but I am sick of these adapters and attachments that I have to get to make a phone work.
I agree. I've got the 6, but it's not my own doing. The company refreshed my phone, and I thought, ha ha, I'm going to get a 7. Here we go. And then they said, and here's your 6. And I went, oh, come on.
Here's your refurbished 6.
So I've got a 6, but I would like a 7, and I would like the 8 when it comes out.
The 7's great. I love it. I mean, in terms of the screen size, is really nice. My father-in-law, though, you know, older gentleman, we got him the 7 for his birthday, and he had it for 3 months and said it was too big for him, so we went back down to a 6.
See, so, that's the thing. I mean, my very first cell phone, and I felt really lucky to have one, was in your car, and I had a lot of money, not really, but I had it installed, so it was really cool. It was like I had the Batmobile. It was installed in the car. The original first phones came out, and you had this giant bag you had to bring with it.
Yeah, that leather bag.
Yeah. So, I mean, they got smaller, and now they're getting bigger again.
And now they're getting bigger
Why don't you just get an iPad?
Well, I got 3 of them.
But on the 7, couldn't you come down from the 7 Plus and just go back to the 7 non-Plus version? It would be the same size as the 6, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how many in general has your – and we'll throw this question out if you want, Wendy. You know, how has the iPhone helped or hindered your life, you know, on the birthday of the iPhone? We'd love to hear from some folks.
And, Alex, if you have time, we're going to take one call. Joe is on the line. What is iPhones? Has it helped you or hurt you, Joe?
The iPhone has ruined my life.
Why? Please explain.
Well, because it's always dinging. People have the ability to text me 24 hours a day, to email me 24 hours a day, to take pictures all the time. And not only is it intrusive in my life, but, of course, my wife uses it all the time, too, so I've lost her to iPhone mania. And if we could all just think back what it was like just 10 years ago, where we weren't always plugged in. And I think quality of life has really changed for the worse, especially in a business sense. Personally, you can control it as much as you want. But the customers have no regard anymore from when and how to contact you.
I agree with Joe.
That's a great point, Joe. Thank you so much for calling. Sorry about that. I don't know what to do. There was one day I forgot my iPhone, and Alex, as you mentioned, typically I would turn around and go back, but I was halfway to work in the middle of rush hour, and I didn't have it at work. I called my husband from work and said, if you need me, if anything's up with the kids, call me at the office. I have to tell you, it was one of the least stressed days I have ever had.
Oh, I thought you were going to say one of the worst days.
I thought so too.
If they needed me in an emergency, I know I'd hear from them. Other than that, I wasn't looking at it. It was really just kind of a pleasurable day for once.
And Wendy, I can understand that. And, you know, that gentleman, he has a great point. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to go back to 2007. Now the work life is that you're available 24/7. And if you don't want that, then, you know, essentially it's okay, find something else that isn't expected to be 24/7. But it's the life that we live in. You know, the one thing that we can all hope they work on still, though, that was a problem in 07 and it is a problem today, is battery life.
Yeah.
Something that they need to, you know, I've got the Mophie on mine, so it doubles the battery life and all that. But even still, some days mine gets low. And that's something that as they get thinner and lighter, it seems that Apple really hasn't overcome in 10 years, is extending that battery, that there are other devices out there that get much better battery life. The iPhone just, you know, doesn't do that well. If you're using it a lot, you can use it up in half a day, and if you don't have another battery to charge it, you got to plug it in.
Well, in my opinion, is that I think they want it that way. You know, I think they want you to every couple of years be frustrated and ready
get
the new one. I truly believe this, and it's happened. Yeah. Right, it just happened with my iPad. My new iPad I have. It's this ultra thin one. I've had it for 4 years, and all of a sudden the battery just stops working. Now I'm mad, and now I'm going to get another one.
Or it gets very slow with the new apps and the new opera, and then you're like, well, all right, I didn't need a new iPad, but it takes forever to open up an app, and you end up doing it. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that's how they stay in business and become the most profitable company in the world by getting you to buy more products.
All right, well, I got to go because I'm hearing the phantom buzz right now that my phone is giving off. You know how you hear it even when it's not buzzing?
When it's in your pocket, too, where I'll be like, oh, it's buzzing. I can feel it. And then you feel and you go, oh, it didn't actually vibrate at all.
I know. We're like Pavlovian. Thank you so much, Alex Stone from ABC News. Appreciate talking to you.
Bye, guys. Have a good
day. Take care, Alex.
Happy birthday to the iPhone.
Yeah, happy birthday, iPhone. And you know, I do want to touch on, we have a guest coming up after the news. Amy Schumer is going to be joining us talking about dating and divorce and meeting people at weddings. But Joe, our caller, mentioned something about how it's affected his relationship. And I will second that after the news.
All right. We will talk to Frank Fontana, who's sitting in for Bill Leff. I'm Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.